Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time now to go behind enemy lines once again, brought to you by Acadian Windows, the official window company of the Who Dat Nation. Joining us now, the voice of the Carolina Panthers, Mick Mixon. Mick, how are you?
Christian, Bobby, I'm doing fine. It's great to hear your voices. What I want to know to start off our conversation is, how is my colleague Zach Strief doing as the voice of the Saints?
I think he's done spectacular. I mean, if you listen to him, man, almost every week to week, well, there's great growth. He's got tremendous bass in his voice, genuine excitement. I love hearing him.
Well, he's grown by leaps and bounds and following professionals like you. You know, that is, and I know you appreciate this, like 32 NFL teams, to have that opportunity, and Zach has taken advantage of that, and he's taken his game to the next level like you have for a number of years.
You're very kind to say that. I know Zach a little bit, and I've admired his work. It's a hard gig coming in, following Jim, and a little bit of a non-traditional hire. But I like listening. I love NFL Game Pass. I try to tune in and listen to him and Deuce. They call a great game, and it certainly helps when you got these wins lined up like the Saints have had W's stacked up like planes at O'Hare Airport, just one after the other. So it's an enviable position for you guys.
Mick, he's attacked it like he attacked his playing career, honestly. I mean, it was important for him to have success and be prepared.
Well, and you know, Mick always busts his chops. I mean, come on, he went to a real school. He went to Northwestern in Chicago. That's like an Ivy League school. So, I know he's smart enough to be able to attack this challenge. So that's why I always call him out. I go, man, you can handle this. You got to do it. And now he's taking it a different level. But, Mick, speaking of a different level, I mean, I don't know, is he maybe not in the conversation because not necessarily success of the Panthers, or he's not a quarterback? Christian McCaffrey. What? Christian McCaffrey. I'm looking at, listen, I love Alvin Kamara, but it seems like Christian McCaffrey's even at a different level in how Carolina's counting on him and putting the ball in his hands. And, I mean, to me, it's amazing his durability and how they can count on him week in and week out.
You guys would love the kid. I mean, he's so tough and so reverential about the game and knowledgeable about the history of the game. He's such a worker. If he were a sous chef there in the restaurant tonight, he'd be the best one. He'd be the one that would do food prep, even though it might be below his pay grade. He would do the dishes. He would serve the customers. I mean, that's just the work ethic that's in Christian McCaffrey. And I think that the big question, guys, for the Panthers is, the most vexing question about the Panther offense is, how in the blue heck are we going to get that eighth man out of the box? Teams have been defending. You know, that's that eighth defender. That's the McCaffrey spy. That's clogging up run lanes. So the Panthers have to be able to do enough in the passing game to keep defenses from crowding Carolina and get some more openings for McCaffrey and others.
Now, you know, Mick, when I look at the takeaways, obviously, can you protect the football? Can you take it away? I'm looking at Carolina's defense, 19 total takeaways. They've scored 64 points off those takeaways, six most in the league. And so the bottom line is they have taken away the football when you look at it going back to 2015 season. And they've been able to score. What is your takeaway? Are they at? Is it a traditional Carolina defense? Because it just seems like they've always had a stout front seven, led by Luke Kuechly. And then I know Gerald McCoy, look, last 9.5 seasons, a lot of skins on the wall. When you look at D tackles affecting the opposing quarterback, that's household names, Geno Atkins, Aaron Donald, Adomican Sue. With Gerald McCoy's in that mix. So where do you put this Carolina defense? Because that's one thing. It seems like they've won a number of games. Are they in every game year in and year out because they win in the trenches?
Well, I like what you're saying. I'm almost ready to buy it, but I can't because this defense is not, it's not a typical Panther defense. It has some high Q rating players, but it's not been gap sound. The Panthers are 27th against the rush, 19th in total defense. And so almost like a basketball team that hunts turnovers and as a result maybe doesn't stop penetration, maybe gives up some layups. I wonder sometimes, and I don't have any science behind this. I'm not accusing the Panther defense of anything. But, guys, I've wondered if the Panthers have hunted picks and sacks at the expense of being a gap sound defense. And
great point.
So I think that's on the table for discussion.
Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers here on Behind Enemy Lines. And, Mick, David Tepper, the owner, the newly acquired, our newly new owner, coming over from as a minority owner from the Steelers, he said something very interesting this week, which is they're not going. He's not going to stand by mediocrity. Is that not a condemnation on Ron Rivera and that staff, or what?
I don't think it's a condemnation, but I think that I don't know how else you would interpret it other than maybe sort of a shot across the bow, or at least a message maybe to the fan base of that the goals are absolute victory and nothing below excellence will be tolerated in any aspect of the organization. I don't think Coach Rivera felt threatened by those comments at all. I think a reasoned mind could say, is there anyone who thinks that David Tepper would be content with long-term mediocrity, or any other owner of an NFL team for that matter? David Tepper's been successful because he has risk tolerance. He's not afraid to make changes. He's not afraid to take chances. So I could see it playing out in a variety of ways. But I do think our organization, the Panther organization, is in an incredibly interesting position now. What would you do with Cam Newton?
I was just about to ask that.
What would you do if?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we got some decisions to make. And you know, it'd be great if it played out, if the Panthers went out, control some destiny, get in the playoffs. We could Cam Newton comes back healthy, mad at it, ready to prove the critics wrong. We could live happily ever after. It could be Candyland shoots and ladders around here for a few more years. Or it could, you know, the season could take a different turn. I just don't know.
What is the temperature of the fan base right now? Where do they stand on Ron Rivera and this regime?
Optimistic, and I think that Coach Rivera's teams have played well in November and December. Last year, though, the Panthers are 6-2. Cam Newton gets hurt, and the season ended in an inglorious fashion. This year, we were 5-3 at one point, now 5-5, and getting into a very difficult part of the schedule. So I think it's the one thing, guys. I mean, did you guys see the Falcons and the Panthers? I mean, I don't know what Atlanta should be sponsored by 5-Hour Energy or something right now. I mean, that was crazy. They just
the last
the
two games.
Right,
well, look against the Saints and Carolina. Well, you know what, Mick? When I look at the Falcons were not a 1-7 team. I remember looking at them OTAs, mini camp, training camp, and I said, "Who's truly going to contest the Saints?" Had Carolina up there until Tampa Bay proven differently. I'm not going to give any credit, but Atlanta. To me, Atlanta is kind of like a Carolina team right now, kind of 5-5. They could be instead of when they were 1-7 at that time. Now they won a couple of games in a row. But Atlanta wasn't as bad as their record. You know, you are what your record says you are, but it's amazing how they turn things around within the division and spanking the Saints and Carolina back-to-back. So now it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen against Tampa Bay. But, you know, it's pros. It's the NFL. You know, you can't just roll the ball out there. And the Saints got humbled, and they responded against Tampa Bay. Now I'm interested in the Superdome, what's going to happen. But the one thing, Mick, what is your take on Kyle Allen? Because when you get more than a month of film on a particular quarterback, I can remember just reflecting back on the years, that all of a sudden they kind of figure out maybe what you try to do and can you protect the football and not have those turnovers.
I think Kyle Allen, there's a lot of Jake Delhomme in Kyle Allen. I think Kyle Allen's got an it factor that is inspirational. The ball looks great coming out of his hands. He knows he needs – ball security is really the key for him. He's had a couple decisions that he'd love to have back the last couple of games. He showed a lot of courage at Green Bay with the snow beating down. a couple of 80-plus yard drives late to get the Panthers right to the doorstep of possibly tying that game. So that was a huge add to his resume, his performance at Green Bay. But then last week, nobody played very well. He had offensive linemen look like they were on rollerblades, four picks. Panther defense didn't do much late to stop the Atlanta offense. Matt Ryan threw for over 300 yards. So I don't know. I think that it pains me to say this, but I think it's legit. At 5-5, the Panthers will come to the Superdome this weekend still with some questions about who this football team, who the 2019 Carolina Panthers really are.
Now, Mick, I'm glad you brought up Jake DeLome. I think he just started this season helping with your color commentary along, Eugene Robinson. Him and I went way back, and all of a sudden Jake having an opportunity. Just describe him going, a Louisiana boy, as Cajun as I am, but now he's doing Panther football and the color commentating. How has that worked out?
He dances divinely. He and Jordan Groves instinctively, and I don't know how they know it, but they understand the meter of a broadcast. They understand the rhythm of an NFL radio call. They know when to analyze the play. They know when to step back away from the play and go up to 30,000 feet and analyze the larger game. Jake doesn't just see the game from a quarterback's perspective. He's eaten up with football. He loves talking about football. He loves the nuances, the subtleties of this amazing game of forward progress. And it's just a huge honor to work alongside of him.
Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers. That wraps up Behind Enemy Lines. Have a good call Sunday.
Okay, thanks, guys. You guys come see me in the booth.
All right, I sure will, Mick.
That's a wrap for Behind Enemy Lines, brought to you by Acadian Windows, the official window company of the Houdat Nation.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.